Welcome to Kosher Tidbits. We're going to talk about peacocks. As anyone who's ever gone to the zoo or who's been at any of those places where they have peacocks, for sure, you'll notice not only is the peacock beautiful, but it's unique. The peacock is a bird which, in addition to its beautiful colors and its egregiously long tail feathers, there are no birds which look like the peacock. Even an amateur artist, a child's drawing, could easily distinguish between each peacock and every other bird that we now know. The earliest reference that we have to a peacock is from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, built the temple, one of his goals was to engage in trade with distant peoples and bring the wonders, the beauty, and the wealth of the other nations of the world to Jerusalem. The Tanakh records in Divrei HaYomim and in Sefer Malachim that Shlomo started a joint venture with the king of Tarshish. And the king of Tarshish, who is known as Chiram, with Shlomo they went on a voyage of 3 years. And at the conclusion of 3 years, they returned carrying with them gold, silver, shanhavim, kofim, and tukiyim. It's not clear what each of these products, the last three products, were. Many of the Rishonim identify the tukiyim as peacocks. Although there are other rabbinic traditions that do not identify the peacock as a tuki, it should be noted that archaeologists and linguists, when they were doing their research in southern India, in the time of Solomon, King Shlomo HaMelech, it is thought that the dominant ethnic group in southern India was a group known as the Tamils. Now they are in Sri Lanka primarily. And in the ancient Tamil language, not the Tamil language which is now spoken, the word for peacock was tuki. Obviously, if Shlomo was sailing to a distant land and they were returning with a peacock, a likely place where they went would have been southern India. And it's interesting that the Torah records the same word for peacock, tuki, as is the word for peacock in the Tamil language, which was dominant in southern India at that time. Aside from the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the word for peacock is no longer tuki, but according to many Rishonim, including the Radak, who quotes the Targum Yonatan, when Yechezkel prophesies the destruction of Tzor, one of the ancient Phoenician cities, he mourns the loss of the products which they had brought. And in Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 27, verse 15, there's a word called Havnim, which Radak and Targum Yonatan identify as peacocks. That their trade in peacocks, it's unclear how dominant it was, although you can imagine if people, a civilization such as the Jewish people, they saw peacocks for the first time, it would have been an impression. It might have been something that people would go down to greet these ships which had come from distant lands, and perhaps one of the oddities that the sailors liked to return with would be a peacock. After the destruction of the Phoenician cities, there's no record of peacocks until the time of the Gemara. In the Gemara, it's noted a number of times, and there it is not called tuki, it's not called havnim, it's called tavis. Tavis is consistently identified by the Rishonim who spoke the Old French dialogue as a pavon. Rashi and Chulin, Dav Kuf Tezayin, there's a story about Levi Ikla Levi Yosef Rishba, Aisu Lekamei Resha de Tavsa, Bechalba, Velo Amar Lehem Velo Miti, where Levi encountered somebody serving him, a peacock, the Tavsa, in milk. Of course, the question is meat and milk, but there is no indication in the Gemara that there was anything wrong with eating a Tavsa. Rashi identifies the Tavsa as the Pavon. Earlier, Meseches Chulin, Daf Samech Gimel, Rashi, when identifying the duchifat, which is one of the 24 species of birds, which is forbidden to eat, which is a non-kosher bird, the duchifad is identified by Rashi as the pavon shalvia. Many of the later commentaries have grappled with what exactly was the pavon and what was the pavon shalvia. Some of the theories which have been proposed is that perhaps there were two species of peacock. One peacock, the pavon, the tavas, was accepted as kosher by everybody in the time of the Gemara. And there was another species of peacock, which is called the pavon shalvia. And this species obviously was not accepted as kosher. As a result, the Knesset HaGdola and many other commentaries have followed his advice, suggest that people abstain from eating peacock, because it's not known which were the peacocks, which is the pavon and permitted, and which was the peacock, which is the pavon shalvia and forbidden. The Gemara in Bechoros, Dav Zayin, quotes the tradition that the tameh and the tohor species cannot breed together. It's also noted in Bava Kamma, Daf Nun Hey, that the tavas, tarnagol, and the fizioni, we know a tarnagol is a chicken, and the tavas, we said, is a peacock, that these three birds, the tarnagol, fizioni, which we're not going to discuss right now, and the tavas, are all able to hybridize. We also know scientifically, and they have some of these specimens preserved in the American Museum of Natural History, that the peacock and the chicken are able to hybridize, and they result in a mutant, which looks a little bit like a peacock and a little bit like the hybrid chicken. According to the Avnei Nezer, as well as according to the Chasam Sofer, if there is an unknown species which is able to hybridize with a species that we know is kosher, in this case, if the peacock can be proven to hybridize with the chicken, then we know the chicken's kosher, so we can also establish that the peacock is also kosher. Of course, the question still remains, what is the pavon shalvia? Although I do not speak French, I corresponded with various French linguists, and they identified the pavon shalvia as the wild peacock, which is synonymous with the species which is found a little bit north of France, which is known as the capercaillie. That's the Gaelic or the English name for this bird. And the capercaillie, which in French is called the wild peacock or pavon shalvia, is more commonly known as the woodcock. Many translations of the Tanakh, they identify the duchifat not as what we identify it as, which is the hupu, but sometimes it's also identified as the woodcock. Rabbi Levinger, in his Sefer Muslim Kosher Minachai, he quotes in the name of the Maram Rutenberg a tshuva which he felt was specifically forbidding this bird, this capercaillie, as not being kosher. There have been many Jewish communities which have traditionally eaten the peacock. Many of the communities where peacock was available. Historically, peacocks were popular with the nobility. Peacocks are a little bit more difficult to raise than farm animals. They need room. They need to have a little bit of privacy when they're nesting. The Roman times, the peacock was raised. It was raised in the Middle Ages. It seems that around the 1700s, the peacock sort of drifted off the dinner table of even the fanciest establishments. The Jewish people traditionally were not eating peacock primarily because of the cost. It was very cost prohibitive. Today, peacocks are, compared to chicken or turkey, extremely expensive. And there aren't, even in the non-Jewish market, there's not a tremendous desire to consume the peacock. The most recent tradition to permit the peacock that has been documented could be found in the Mesorah of Livorno, the Zivchei Kohen. And there, among all the birds that are listed, he also has pictures of all the birds that they would eat in Livorno, Italy, which is also known as Leghorn, Italy. And one of the birds which he permits was the peacock, which is clear from its Italian name, as well as the accompanying picture, which is unmistakable with any other species which we know to exist. There are also traditions among some of the Sephardi communities to eat the peacock. Of course, they were more common in the lands that were closer to India. Today, there is no kashrus organization which is known to certify the peacock, although there have been isolated instances of people shechting the peacocks in Israel. Thank you very much for listening to Kosher Tidbits.